Why do you love love so much?
Oh my, I know. Love is amazing. Mm-hmm. Love is like to be literally have someone look at you like you were the greatest thing on earth and you have all of these flaws and have someone like cover you in prayer. I mean, I don't know what the rest of the world is, you know, mm-hmm. I rock with Jesus. But like to have someone who genuinely cares about your well-being, like they don't do anything intentionally to hurt you because they think about you and how your feelings are, and to have someone to like create new memories with in like a positive way, and to have someone to literally grow old with. Like we get to the point where we need someone to help us get off the couch. Like my man got me. Mm-hmm. He hasn't found me yet, but my man got me. Like, you know, unfortunately we get to that time. I got to roll him over and wipe him. I'm here for it. Like, why would I want somebody?
You're like excited about it too.
Oh my gosh. I
can't wait to wipe that.
I can't. I'm going to roll them over everything. If, you know, I'm going to keep working out, get these guns to make sure, like, I got to lift him into his wheelchair, max assist. I'm doing it. Like, I think love is one of the greatest gifts, like, on this earth. And people who settle, I feel so bad for. Like, trash. Really, yeah. Really trash. But yeah, no, love is phenomenal. I'm this excited, and I'm like not and even you, in love.
Right.
So imagine when I find him. Oh, he's gonna be sick of me.
Or when he finds you.
Well, when he finds me. Well, I have
who knows
to get
how
off
it's gonna happen.
I gotta get off the
yes,
couch.
Yes, we're gonna get off the couch.
My man upstairs says he who finds a good thing, you know. So I gotta get off the couch, but one day I will. You know, I'm going out tomorrow for my birthday, so I'll be off the couch.
You said you're going out for your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You'll be proud of me. Yeah. Going okay. out like a big kid. Off the couch. Obviously, my Amazon package man has not found me yet, so yes. I got to go
you,
out in the
do
street.
Do you usually greet your Amazon man?
No, I send packages to my parents' house.
That's smart.
Yeah, I don't need nobody to know where I live at. Only a select people, actually. Well, I guess they'll know now that I moved, but no, I don't even tell people that I moved. I don't tell people where I live at. It's my space. Like, I love yeah. my space.
And it's peaceful when yeah. you have your own space.
What?
It's incredible because you can create your own space.
There's some people call me and ask them, okay, I'm like, yeah, they're like, haven't heard from you in a while. I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. Like,
just enjoying.
Yeah. I'll go space. Days without turning my TV on.
Oh, yeah.
Just being like, an easy just, one. Just being and like looking at everything. I saw the man upstairs the other day, like, wow, you really did this. The wall. I walked around, looked at the walls, the ceilings. I'm like, this me. This you, because you know what I mean? You got it for me, but like, this me. Yeah. I can sit here, do nothing. If I ain't want to wash the dishes, I don't have to. But I do, so my parents raised me properly. But yeah, it's beautiful.
You trying to say my parents ain't raising properly? Because I'll be leaving
No, listen, it's your world, but like, growing up in that brag home, I mean, mom and dad woke up to some dirty dishes in the sink. And I was the lazy kid out of the three, but you know. Then waking up the dishes in the sink just wasn't really a good thing. Yeah. It wasn't really a good
no,
thing.
No, we was the same way. We was the same way. And I think that's why I'm so rebellious about it. Like, as an adult.
You're like, I ain't doing none of these dishes.
I ain't doing none of these jobs. They going to sit there for 2 days.
Listen, the first time, I remember the first time I did, like, I hate to say it, you know what I mean? I'm not being racist, but the black person kitchen clean out, like when you close the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yo,
yeah.
I sent a picture to my friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look. Yeah.
I put the light on the light microwave. Over the.
Yeah, the light always make it look way yes. cleaner for some reason. They give it ambiance.
No, I literally cleaned the whole joint down and I put that light on. I stepped back. Look at it. I took a picture sent to my friend, like, kitchen closed.
Yeah. Facts.
I cooked and the kitchen is closed. Don't touch nothing.
Nah, that's true. That's true. So. Yeah. That was like our intro. I don't even know if you know, oh. but like, yeah, like I had hit the record button.
Oh, we're on?
Button.
Well, yeah, welcome we're to live. Chris's comfy couch. Got my blankie.
Yes.
Conversation.
You know what I'm saying? So I have Samantha here with me for, you know, and a new episode of Complicated Simplicity. The new season has officially begun. And you're like the first official
Hola,
guest.
Hola, everyone. Yeah. Welcome to Domino's Pizza. Pick up a delivery.
No one's going to do any of that. All right.
Oh, so guys, that's not like, we are not being sponsored by Domino's, but that's right. how I always answer my phone. But if you actually knew me, you would know
that. That and Ola.
But yeah, Ola is the way I answer my phone and Domino's Pizza, pick up or delivery.
Yeah.
But just so I want to think we're getting sponsored. Yeah. Unless they want to.
Right. Because needs the monies. I take it all. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Excited to have you here. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
That's fine.
But we're going to talk. I know some of what we're going to talk about because it's like been some stuff that like I've been thinking about. And I'm like, even though we like talk semi-often, you know, mm-hmm. get your take on a few things.
And Chris and I are real friends.
All right.
A lot of decades in this lifestyle here.
Right. Since I was like 7. I'm 35. So.
And I'll be 34 on Monday. Just saying.
Clap, clap, clap. So with this new season, it's like a new season. Like, this is like a totally like change of pace from previous seasons of what we have been doing at Complicated Simplicity. So there'll be like new people coming in and out all the time. And we're gonna have fun, of course, but I'll probably have like a lot more serious conversations this time around because 35. I'm in like a more serious time of life.
And you're growing and evolving.
And evolving and changing and, you know, having some redirection take place in my life, some voluntarily, some involuntarily. So, yeah, just looking forward to, you know, talking to more people on Chris's comfy couch. I'm glad you think it's comfy. I actually don't think it's comfy.
What? Yo, this corner here is one of my favorites. So for those who have not been blessed to come into Christopher's home, which honestly, I don't think you should be unless you really know him. He got this one corner of his couch and it's like right next to this really dope plant. So this is my favorite spot. I normally get a blanket like I have right now, cross the legs, and I just fit perfectly in this spot. Like, I'm a people watcher, so when he has his events, I can see everything and everybody except the door behind me, but he doesn't let people come in and out of it. So I intentionally structure myself and sit here because, I mean, it's the best spot in the house.
Well, I think that's probably what it is, the fact that you can, like, sit and fit so comfortably over there. I don't. So,
Sorry to hear that.
I got to get smaller.
At least we'll never battle over this spot.
That's true, because I will never, ever, ever sit there. Yeah. So you're good.
Actually, your couch is comfortable. I fell asleep on this couch before.
I'm glad you can do it, because I can't. You know, I wake up with back pain.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It looked good, though.
Yeah, it was aesthetics over, you know, comfort. But, you know, I know for next time.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Whole different section next time. Like, not doing this. So, one of the things, like, obviously, like, you have, like, a bubbly personality, right? And you're, like, always, like, high energy. So, I have a confession. Like, since I know that you're so high, like, energy, you know, when you call, sometimes my energy don't be on your energy, so I'll be faking it. Like, I'll answer the phone like, hola, low-key, I was just sitting there like, and then I gotta pep it up. Now, not to say that that's fake, mm-hmm. right? But are you really that happy all the time?
I'm like, high on life. I am. But I appreciate you telling me that you fake it, because honestly, works for me. You had to smile in order to say hola, so you cracked the smile if you were sad.
So you did your job.
Yeah, you know, served my purpose.
So why are you high on life? Break it down for the people so that they can join in the highness.
I hope y'all ready for this roller coaster. So, wow. I'm trying to think how long I've been high on life. It's been some time. It's been some time I've been high on life. I am a person who rocks with Jesus, full throttle. You know, hey.
Team Jesus.
Rock with God, Allah, your crystals, that's your business, your ancestors, nothing wrong with it. Jesus just works for me. And I just realized over life, like, I'm dope. And I realized, ain't no reason to be sad. Like, things are always going to happen. And my attitude towards it is going to dictate how I respond. And one, I don't let people change my mood. I'm just not into it. Like, a lot of people carry stuff. So I was reading this book once, and it was saying there's only really like two emotions in this world, happiness and sadness. And people, how they feel feeds off of it. So like, someone comes to you, they got an attitude, they pissed off, like they just hostile for no reason. It's really because they sad about something, but it led to a level of anger.
Right.
Someone's over the top happy, they're bubbly, like they're just ecstatic and came from happiness. They just don't know how to express it. Mm-hmm. So for me, there's a book called The Book of Joy, highly recommend it. It just talks about like understanding people, understanding where they're at in life. So for instance, you're driving, somebody cut you off, right? My boy Gandhi, never met him, but I think we're friends because of the Book of Joy. He basically was like, don't honk your horn, right? Tell yourself their wife is pregnant and they just literally flying to the hospital, right? It might be their third strike at work. They woke up late and they just flying. Like, it's not intentionally towards you. They just doing stuff. So I have a friend, you know her. my girl Brittany. She honks the horn for me all the time. Reaches over and just be going. Love her to death. Love her to death. But I just realized that, like, I wake up sad, it'll literally dictate my entire day. I wake up happy, even if I actually really have an attitude. I wake up happy, it's just going to change my mindset and how I feel. So even when I call people, like, I have moments like you. I don't really feel like doing these phone calls. My man Jesus dropped somebody on my heart. I'll call them with this upbeat spirit because I don't know what they're going through. So me coming on the phone and, like, you know, being a little happy, be a little bubbly, sometimes can literally change somebody's mood. Yeah. So it works for me, and I just roll with it.
Yeah. I definitely, I get that vibe from you. and it, but it's admirable, though. Like, I really, like, I admire that about you, that, like you said, nobody can, like, affect your mood. Nothing can, like, change the joy that you found. Like, do you think that comes more so from just, like, gratitude or just, like, peace that you found within, you know, just, like, your walk with God and Jesus? Or, like what do you think the source of, because you said, you know, you've been on this high for a while, right? Like,
yeah,
what was the turning point? Like, what do you think was, like, the thing that drove you to being like, yeah, I'm just going to be happy? Like, when did you discover, like, I'm dope?
So honestly, I really dealt with a lot of, like negative self-talk when I was younger, negative, like, body image stuff. Well, you know me, I've always been a tomboy, like, hanging with the homies. I've been rocking this ponytail, I'm wearing these baggy shirts, these pants, and most of the chicks around me, like, tight fit, right? Everybody done hit puberty at the age of, like, 10, it seemed like. It's just breasts and butts and stomachs everywhere. So I used to, that's kind of how I clung to sports, and that was, like, my motivation and my passion. So when I used to play basketball, like, I used to always just, I was like a gnat, like, especially defense. I'm just, like, attacking people. It was just, like, my thing. But that's what, like, bought me some excitement. And then, you know, people trash talk every sport you play in. And it used to affect me when I was younger. And then when I got older, I'm like, nobody can make me feel any type of way unless I want to feel that way. So then, like, slowly I kind of started picking that up and, like, going with it. I got two dope parents. And my parents are really big on, like, no matter what somebody does, like, just keep it moving.
Right.
Like, they're not going to pay your bills, right? Like, keep it moving. We're your family. We here forever. My family's actually pretty flipping amazing. I don't really curse podcasters, just so you know. So my family's dope. So just knowing, like, I got them. I mean, a stranger off the street could call me a bum, and I'd be like, you right. And I never, you remember Lil Bill?
Yeah.
I never forget this. So my boy Cosby, you know what I mean? Y'all can have y'all feelings. That's y'all business. But I never forget, in a Lil Bill episode, my boy was getting bullied, right? And he was like, whenever a bully says something to you, just say so. They have no response after that, right? So you got a big head, so. So I literally started doing that for a little bit. I was never bullied, just a disclaimer, when my siblings getting upset. But when things would happen, or, like, negative self-talk and stuff would come around, I would just be like, all right, we good. Like, so it's fine. Like, keep it going. And right. Then one day I was just like, negativity is never coming back in this. And I've been high ever since.
You know what? That's like a superpower, low-key, because, like,
thanks.
I don't know a lot of people that have that level of confidence to just be like, so, because whether people want to admit it or not, like, words hurt.
What?
Words can, like, ruin
words stack
their day. Like, somebody that know how to cut you with words can, like, really, really hurt your feelings. Like,
yes.
Bad. So to be able to just, like, be like, so, or, like, I'm... Well, I know that's not true. That's not me. And just, like, going about your day, that's actually, like, really dope, because.
So, yeah. Again, but it was something. I just realized I talk with my hands a lot. It's something that I had to learn, like I said. So, it's, you know, started young. And then, you know, I started getting better and better. But I just realized, like, I was really putting my feelings in other people's possession, right? So, okay, you're young. You're dealing with somebody. I like guys. So, you know, dealing with these boys, and it's like, they don't text you back. Now I'm sad all day. I got things to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a paper to write. I got to study for something. Like, I'm not about to be... Listen, you miss out on this blessing, that's your business. But I have to literally go on with my day. Like, I can't be... Somebody talk trash in the game, like, so you don't really know me. You're passionate because you want to win. Got it. Change your mindset and keep it going. Like, People are just hurt, so they talk trash, right? Mm-hmm. Someone talking about you, it ain't really about you. Their parents probably didn't give them hugs when they was younger, right? Somebody probably killed them with their sneakers. They finally got some forces. Now they want to kill you about yours. Like, it's not. I realized, like, I just stopped taking so many things personal. Like, yeah, I just stopped taking, yeah. Oh, there's a book called The Four Agreements. My shorty Trina Smith put me on that. It's phenomenal. It just gives you these four things in life, like, you're just not going to deal with. Like, you're not going to let people pretty much dictate how you are. You're going to wake up and you're going to be grateful. And, yeah, yeah, it's a good one. That's a good one. Highly recommend you to read that. It's called The Four Agreements.
Yo, all the sponsors that we're going to have by the end of this episode, we're shouting out books, Domino's, and
yo,
everybody
we
else.
Have to. Wait, I got to get the other two because, you know, I don't like being wrong. But
the other two what? Books or the other two agreements?
No, the other two agreements to it. So I really, really, really enjoy reading. In case you guys can't tell, I'm going to probably be saying a bunch of stuff. But I thoroughly enjoy learning. Oh, so be impeccable with your word. Mm-hmm. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions and always do your best.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I got the pocket version because sometimes you need a little quick read, you know?
Oh, so you just pull it up on, you got the whole book on your phone.
So Trina actually gave me the book to read.
Okay.
You know, you got to give stuff back, so I gave her the book back. And then I got the pocket version of it. But I just went to Google. Shout out to Google, who's going to sponsor this one day.
Google don't sponsor nobody. They like, you know, we got too much
into
money.
Into existence.
Nah, that's facts.
Thank you, Jesus, for the Google sponsor.
Yeah, in advance.
In advance.
So one of the things you mentioned was interesting because, like you were talking about how, like, you know, boys or guys, men, you know, that you deal with or dealt with, you know, like, their inconsistency, not allowing that to, like, you know, impact your day because you got other things to do. So, like, do you think that's part of, like, your not settling thing that you got going on? Because, you know, like you said, right now, still waiting for him to find you.
He's going to find me.
Right.
I feel it in my spirit.
Right. But obviously, you know, you've dated.
I got to walk outside.
You know what I'm saying? No, I'm saying, like, obviously, you've dated previously. Yes. You know, so what, for whatever reason, those situations didn't work out. Do you find that it's easy to walk away or like with like you having like that confidence in yourself and that, you know, I got things to do?
Oh, no,
or
I'm
do
a
you...
human. No, okay. No. Hold on. I don't want you to think I got this cape on my back that's impenetrable. I just fixed my mindset on things. But so my last relationship, again, I'm real big on understanding. Once I understand, I'm good. My last relationship, we broke up and I understood why. And it was one of those things of, like, it was something that needed to happen to better the other person. And I said, okay. Like, there was no like, pushback on it. There was no grief or, like, tears. Because for me, crying is a big thing for me. Like, if I'm crying, either somebody probably did something to my family and I'm pissed and I'm crying because I can't go to jail. Or if I'm crying, it has to be some. Normally, I cry because of other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember the last time I cried, like, for myself. But I will cry for, like, other people. So in the terms of, like, me moving on. So the very last relationship, like I said, had to happen. So in my life, I'd say I dated twice. I mean, do we count high school? At this age?
No.
Okay. So I dated twice. So my first relationship, we were really, really good friends. And so that relationship, I cried because it was like, I'm losing my best friend. But again, things happen, situations hit, right? Things have to end. So that was more so like, I actually grieved our relationship because the deal was like, we just won't communicate, mm-hmm. right? Because it's just best for both of us. So I grieved that relationship, like, you know, I cried or whatever. That might have been the last time I cried for Samantha. But once I understand things, mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm not someone that really needs closure. Like, I don't need somebody to come back and tell me things. That's like friendships, because we're older now, right? Sometimes you got to move people. Like, I've had friends that had to move to associates, mm-hmm. right? And unfortunately, I had that tough conversation with a few of them. Like, you know, it's nothing personal, but the space
it
that
is, though, ain't
in,
it?
No, it's nothing personal against them, right?
Right, but it's personal for you.
For me, it's a personal thing, mm-hmm. but it's one of the things of, like, the space that we met in was negative, right? So We trauma bonded. Mm-hmm. Not trauma bonding anymore. Mm-hmm. But it seems like we only can connect over trauma, right? And over negativity, but we only loop back to the same trauma every time, right? Yeah. As you grow, there's going to be traumas that happen in life. There's going to be different stages of healing, right? And if we only keep talking about these same traumas. So now as years go, now that trauma was 6 months ago. It was a year ago. It was 2 years ago, but we on the same trauma and I'm past it now. Like, I have to end this relationship for me. Now, you can move down to an associate if that's what you choose to be, but understand that level of access is not the same.
Yeah.
You're not about to just be calling me when you feel like it. Like, I'm a busy person. So
yes, you are.
I see. But you're my genuine friend, so you get access to me. Like, you call me at 10 o'clock, I'm going to pick up. An associate called me at 10, I'm going to respond tomorrow after I get to work and get my day started. Like, it's levels of access to me because I have love for everyone. Everyone doesn't get access to Samantha, though. Mm. That's like, it's unheard of. Like, you just can't. I don't have enough space and energy to love everybody in the same capacity like I do my associates. So moving that person down, I didn't realize that it hurt their feelings. And I did. And I had to realize, like, it's me or you. Like, that's a tough thing to, like, hit. But I'm a black and white person. Like,
yeah,
it's me or you, and it's you.
You know what? I heard something yesterday. I don't remember what it was on. I don't know if I was watching OWN or Netflix. Who knows? but like, somebody said something like, "You're not being selfish. You're being self-full."
Ooh.
And it was like, and I thought that was like a good way to spin stuff because, like, as adults, like, we have to be selfish sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's a negative connotation that's placed on being selfish because, you know, you want to be healthy, you want to be full. So, you know, like saying, "Oh, I'm being self-full," was like a positive way to spin it. But like, I think that's like super important. And even now, like, because basically what you're describing is creating healthy boundaries. Mm. And the reason I think that's so important is because I'm seeing even today with my lack of building strong boundaries, how that can... Even though it was years ago, how it can still impact you now.
Or leave doors open that should have been locked.
Right. And slammed.
And concreted.
And concreted, right. And like still reinforcements.
Yeah.
So like creating healthy boundaries, you know, making sure that everyone is in their right place is a very underrated skill.
It is. But let's get back to the reading. So Henry Cloud did a book on boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Daniels did a book on relational intelligence. Mm-hmm. Those two together, plus there was a book I read on healing the hurt.
Okay.
And it just happened to be I was in a season of like, outwardly, I'm golden, right? Inside, I was like, some people got to go, right? I'm trying to navigate it. So Henry Cloud's book on boundaries showed me what boundaries need to be created. Darius Daniels' books on relational intelligence showed me how to move people into different areas and understand and be okay with moving people. In the back of his book, he actually got a thing where he gives you little liners that you can use to move people. And then healing the hurt, hangups, and habits, that one was pretty much like, you did this. Now this is how you go on and move forward and not have to look back. It actually used some of the steps from AA meetings.
Okay.
Like where you come to a space and you pretty much are just like, I'm hurting or I'm healing or I have a hangup. And you literally do, it was 12 steps. You go through it, you run through the whole thing. Some of the steps are hard, like I'm not going to lie. Some of the steps should have took like 2 days, probably took like 2 weeks. Because it was just like, it's a lot of things you got to bring up and understand why you do certain things. But reading those books are kind of what helped me understand, at the end of the day, it's me or them, right? And you can only advocate for yourself. Like now when my husband finds me and we're all in love, he'll protect me, right? But in this moment, just me and Jesus. So I have to do what's best for me to keep myself healthy and keep myself safe.
So I feel you, but like you mentioned, like, you know, the whole hurt thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a person that's forthright when you're hurt? And when I say forthright, not like, are you honest with yourself? And do you have like safe people that you go to that you can just be like, yo, I'm hurt. I'm in a dark place. I'm whatever.
So it depends on the situation. So
okay.
Podcasters, I have these friends, right? So I got four female friends. I got two male friends. So depending on what hurt me or who hurt me, I go to them, right? Okay. Sometimes you can't tell your friends everything, right? So I got this one friend. Her name's Kyra. She's the friend, right? If you like, I need you to take a ride. She's like, pick me up at Wawa. I left my phone at home, right?
Oh, okay. She down, she down for the get down. Yes,
right? And the thing is, because in her, when Kyra looks at me, although everything she pretty much knows I go through, like, Kyra is the person in my life who's like, anybody does you wrong, we got an issue, right? Eunice, other friend, she's more so like, she's going to have a conversation so I understand, right? I know people got this thing, like, your friends aren't your therapist. You ain't got a friend like Eunice, right? I got homework when I'm with her. Like, I tell her all the time she should have been a therapist. So when I am hurt, right, I'm so self-aware, I know what friend is going to get me out of what space I'm in. And because of that, and because I've done, so every year, I reevaluate my friends, right? They know it. I send them a little, hey, you made it again, right? Hey, you didn't make it. I delete contacts, right? Wow. It's an access thing, but I'm very aware of, like, who can handle certain things, right? So when I call, I mean, I've done to you a few times, like, hey, you got space real quick for me to say, did it? Because we all go through our own stuff.
Yeah.
So knowing my friends, like, I know what I can call and tell Katrina. I know what I can call and tell Brittany. I can tell Eunice. I can tell Kyra. What I can tell you. What I can tell Rajan, like, it's certain people that you know you can go to because it's certain friends you go to when you need to calm down. And if you decide to be, I don't know, knuck if you buckish, right? You might not want to go to them when you need to calm down. So I'm just truly, like, self-aware of, like, my friends and even some of my associates if I had to go to them. So when I'm hurt, I just know who to go to, like, make me understand, like, why are you feeling this way, right? Why do you want to react this way? Why do you want to go after somebody when you'll lose everything and they gain the world because they made you react?
Right.
So my self-awareness has allowed me to kind of figure out who I can go to help me get out of hurt. But I don't just do it by myself.
Yeah. And how long does it take you to, like, process, like, the fact that you've been hurt? Because, like, I feel like somebody who's always, like, upbeat, always happy, mm-hmm. doesn't really let things get to them. Like, is it, like, an immediate thing when you're, like,
This got through.
These weapons are prospering. They're starting to prosper. Like, does it hit immediately, or are you like, all right, after a few days, it's like, dang, this is still in my head. Like,
situational. So okay. I pretty much break my life down into myself, my families, my friends, my occupation, and my career. So if it's something in my I will react. If somebody does something to my family, fast. Way quicker than I ever react to myself. Mm. Me, I got a lot to lose. Like, I don't just have a career. Like, I'm involved in a lot of different extracurricular activities. They're not like illegal drugs, guys. Just let me clear that up, because I know y'all take these 90-second clips. Y'all take these 90-second clips and run with it. I'm just involved in so many different things that, like, me being absent affects people's money,
yeah.
You know, not just work, but even in the community service things that I do. Like, I might volunteer my time, but the money that I bring in because I volunteer my time, like, these people's mortgages, they say bills, they got families. So my family, quick, 3 nephews, God bless me with, I call them my nephew sons. Like, a kid could do something to them, and I am ready to fight, right? I'm going to jail. My mom knows the pins to all my cards. It's not a question, right? And I'm still going to be mad even if my nephews are fine. I'm going to be hot. I'm going to be pissed, right? I don't know. Somebody does something to me, I'm just like, okay. Like, if they keep doing it, then I'm like, let's get to the bottom of it, right? Do I have something that you want? Did I date somebody you used to date? Do you just hate me because you need somebody to hate? Like, I'm 33. I've never been in a fight in my entire life. Because why would you fight me? Seriously, right? So
sometimes people get tired of all that positivity. They're like, oh my God.
And this is the thing. If you're tired of it, don't come around me. You know, you're going to get this every single time. That don't be in the same space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I might not post where I'm going, but when I walk in a room, sunshine comes with me. Like, so it ain't going to be hard to miss me. Like, you're going to hear me saying hello to people. You're going to hear me gassing people. I think a piece to that, though, is, so I look at purpose as spaces in life, right? Like, different portions of your seasons in life. Whatever my full-blown sentence is, don't have that down yet. But I know I'm here for a reason, to make people feel seen. Like, my role on this earth right now that I know is, like, to make people feel seen, to make people feel heard. Because a lot of times, think about how many times you walk by a homeless person, right? Mm-hmm. Every day of their life they go by, and nobody ever even acknowledges them, right? Yeah. They might call them a bum. Not everybody that's homeless chose to be there, right? It could have been a house fire, they was living paycheck to paycheck, and they ain't got it.
Right.
Like, it could have been something as simple as, like, their parent died, and they went into a depression spiral. Therapy's not free for everybody. Like, and if you don't have the internet to get you to free therapy services, if you're trying to do different things, like, you are going to end up on the street, right? Family members don't want to deal with you because they don't understand you. Like, so my purpose right now is literally to make people feel, like, seen and heard. Like, I will wait until someone mentions something that they want, and I'll just send it to them randomly, like, 2 months later. Like, I'll randomly just send people money, right? Because to me, not about to be handing out bread, but I'm just saying, like, it's not my money. Like, it's God's money. Like, it's really, I truly, truly feel like that. Like, I'm good. If something happened to me tomorrow and I got to be out of work for 3 months, my mortgage is going to be paid, right? It's good stewardship. I have financially, I'm in a good state. But, like, even if I wasn't, like, I'd really just be like, yeah, I'm good. So my goal in life is when I see people, so for instance, at my church, right? Welcome team, shout out to the welcome team. I intentionally look for the person that walks towards me with their head down. Right. I intentionally look for the person that's shuffling with their clothes. Right. I intentionally look for that person that's walking all tight in it. Right. Because you're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Because when you're not right, you might look up. You're trying to see where you're going. Like, so I intentionally look for those people and make sure I compliment them. I make sure that I say hello. And right. I'm not extra because I don't know their temperature, their life. I don't just be giving out hugs. But my goal in life, even when I go in stores, like Eunice can't stand it. Something falls. I go pick it up. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nah, let me just get this up. Somebody might trip. Like, I'm supposed to see people. Like, that's my current, like, that's my current purpose. So me walking in bubbly, it just goes with the role.
That's dope. I'm seeing her picturing you, like, at the welcome team. I'm like, she do that.
Because you've seen me.
I've seen you do it.
Yes. Now everybody knows my secret. Great. But it's cool. But that's, and I always do, because everyone's always like, why are you outside when you do welcome team? I'm like, because I want to meet people before they hit the church building. Right? Once people hit the church button, you're going to put on that fake smile. Mm-hmm. And now we don't really wear masks like that. So I can see that you're faking. You can't hide behind the mask no more. You can't hide when you get out your car. Right? That whatever you came with, that bad text message you got coming to church, that bad phone call you got, the breakup that just happened 2 minutes via text message, or you saw somebody else on social media, like, or I'm a physical therapist. That bad diagnosis that you just got, I treat cancer. Like, I'm trying to hit you before you get to a point where you can fake it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a blessing to have, like, that type of energy and, like, somebody that does go out their way to see you, because I think a lot of people find comfort in their solitude. Mm-hmm. And in their just, like, being able to hide from people. Like you said, like, before you can get to the point of hiding, like, because exposure is scary.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, being exposed, especially to somebody that you don't know, you know what I'm saying? And, like, having them see you in that way. Like, some people want to be seen because, like you said, if they're coming to church. I want to be seen as a person that comes to church. I got faith. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, or, and even if I'm not happy, I'm coming in here to get a heal and get a blessing, get whatever I'm supposed to be getting. But to be able to be seen in, like, that most vulnerable state, knowing that you probably need to be in church, you probably need, you know, like, some encouragement, but you don't know how to go about getting it. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, part of, like, in the beginning when I was saying, like, redirection, like, those moments where things happen that are beyond your control, that you didn't know about, that just, like, come out of nowhere, that stuff, like, it takes a while to process that stuff. Yeah. Like, for those that don't know, I mean, pretty much everybody knows because I haven't really been, like, high in it too much. But, like, last year I got diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic. Mind you, I had no idea what that actually meant. Obviously, everybody knows what diabetes is.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to really explain it to people in a way that they understand.
Yeah.
I think because even with the whole, like, nickname that it gets, people, oh, you got the sugars. You know what I'm saying? Like, I promise you, that was one of the first thing one of my friends said to me. She was like, oh, you got the sugar? And it was like a joke, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, in at least in my mind, I'll speak for myself, growing up, it always sounded like, oh, you eat too many sweets.
Yeah.
If you stop, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that is
that's
not true.
It. And that's not how it works mm-hmm. at all. So like that for me was like a major turning point in like everything, like lifestyle, eating habits, just overall health consciousness. Cause like I got sick, like sick, like not leave the house sick. And it was, and what made it bad was more so, you know, saying that whole exposure thing and not wanting to be seen. I didn't even tell anybody for a while.
Oh, I know. Cause I was one of the people you didn't tell. Oh, I know.
I didn't tell my mom. Like, I didn't tell anybody. Like, I, in my mind, this is how it was going to happen. I got the diagnosis. They told me how I can, like, fix it. All right, fix it. Get yourself together. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, go on about everything without giving everybody anxiety. Because not only does diabetes run in my family, anxiety appears to run in my family as well. So it's like, let me not get everybody else, you know, anxiety all raised. Mm-hmm. I can handle it.
And then you got shaken up for a roller coaster.
I was like, bruh, I don't know if I can handle this. Like, I was in the house going through basically withdrawal. And
sugar,
like,
withdrawal?
Sugar withdrawal is a real thing. Yes, yes, be clear. Yeah, I do not.
Just saying.
I don't do those other
things. These 90 second snippets begin taken out of
facts. Mm-hmm. Yes, sugar withdrawal. And like, I got incredibly sick. And it wasn't just like, oh, I'm see, that's the other thing. If you're a sugar withdrawal, people think that, oh, that means you have cravings.
Yeah.
Nigga, I didn't want to drink any juice, soda. I didn't want to eat any candy. I didn't have no cravings at all. But my body was rejecting the fact that, like, the way that it used to operate is no longer the way that it's being operated now. Like, mm-hmm. all those things that was used to being fed are non-existent. And then it was reacting. So, like, I was in violent pain. Like, arms, legs, like all limbs in pain at all times. Feet, walking was painful. I would have the shakes all the time. Like literally would be in here, shake, fall asleep, would wake up in a cold sweat, like drenched sweat. Like look underneath of me and there's a puddle of sweat that's in the sheet. Like that kind of stuff. And I hid.
Yeah.
I hid. When I should have been asking for help and I should have been, you know, making sure I'm seen. So like at least people can check on me and all that kind of stuff. But like there's like a shame that comes along with not being in the best position that you should be health wise, financially, emotionally, relationally. Like the older we get, there's like this stigma of like, why ain't you got it all together by now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't you have this figured out? You have all these tools. You have all these books that you can read. You know what I'm saying? The Four Agreements.
You
know
books. What I'm saying?
You can do all. You have YouTube videos. You have access to therapy. Like all these things that are out there. Millions of resources. And we just don't know how to do it.
I will say this. Three words people never say enough. And it's solely because of pride. I need you. Nobody ever wants to say I need you. Mm-hmm. I need you is perfect example. Every year, my family would throw these barbecues. And I could do everything myself, right? That's what I tell myself, right? Not because I don't want help. I'm like, I don't need it. I'll never forget, I was carrying a table, y'all. The table was heavy as crap, right? So I go to pick it up. Chris is standing right there like, let me help you. I'm like, nah, I got it. He's like, just because you can do it doesn't mean you don't need to ask for help. And I was like, oh. And although he was talking about a table, my whole world flashed like, damn, is this the signal I'll be giving all the people? I'm like, dang. So, yes, I did let him pick that table up. And after that, I was like, I ain't getting these tables no more. I'm like, can I get help with this, this, and this? But, like, that word need has such a negative connotation to it.
It does.
Like, needing help doesn't mean that you're inferior. It just means you lack knowledge in a certain area. It doesn't mean that you're not on top. It doesn't mean that you're beneath anybody. It's just in this moment, this area, this concept, I don't have it all together. I literally need you. Like, I need you to help me.
Yeah.
But saying I need you makes people feel inferior. Here goes our feelings again. It's only two real feelings, happy and sadness. Inferior makes you feel like you're less than. Being less than makes you feel sad.
Yeah.
So you don't want to ask for help because it comes off like you don't have it all together. Ain't nobody had it together but Jesus. Like, nobody, right? His 12 rolling with him ain't have it together. Like, none of us have it together, but that word need has such a negative connotation to it that, like, it pretty much needs to be flipped. Like, instead of I need you, flip it to a positive. Can you help me with this? Yeah. Right? But it's the mindset of the words that we use that makes people feel that way. But it's plenty of times I tore my Achilles, right?
Yeah.
The worst and greatest thing that ever happened in my life, I didn't realize how busy I was until I tore my Achilles. And everything had to stop. I didn't realize that, like, everything I was doing was essentially making me who I was, right? You're this physical therapist. You're this person in your sorority. You're this person in all of your community events. Like, you're this person for all these people. And that was a big helper because I was like, oh, some of these friends got to drop down to associates. Some of these friends got to get off the board. We got to send these messages. We got to move them because it was like, I couldn't go to work for 3 months, right? I'm in a cast for 3 weeks. Literally couldn't walk. I sat on a couch for 3 weeks losing my mind. I never been home that much in probably 5 years. Like, but for 3 months, I literally had to sit. I had to sit with my feelings. I had to sit with my thoughts. I had to sit with my financial things, right? You only get short-term disability when you out, especially when I was out that long. Yeah. So it was like, that injury was everything I needed because I always said, like, oh, who's important to you? God, family, right? A whole lot. I look at my schedule. Like, Jesus only had Sunday. My family only, my nephews only had their sporting events. My parents see me when I walked in the door, but I was such on a strict schedule. Like, I had to be in bed by 10. So if I was at work till 8, you about to get these good 30 minutes. And then I'm going to go take it down. But when I got that injury, it realigned everything. Like, you say these are your main things, but look how you treat each of these categories. Mm. So that was a big help just with, like, realigning and shifting things out. And that exposed me to the point of, like, I was a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. Like, now I knew I was one, right? You have told me before that I was a people pleaser. You've given me examples. But it wasn't until the injury where I was just like, yo, I'm really a people pleaser. This is crazy. So that's when I, like, chopped the whole schedule. Like, I'm not about to be out here volunteering for everything under the sun. Like, I'm not about to be doing this activity. I'm not helping with this committee. Like, not doing this, not doing this. And then I was like, all right, what's important to you? Then I started making, like, intentional moves of, like, if this is what's important to me, I'm going to do it. So prayer life got deeper. Started spending, like, more time with my family. Like, not just, like, because it's somebody's birthday. Like I said, because it's my nephew's games. Or I got these three unofficial nieces because my friends have kids. And it was just, like, I'm going to make sure I'm a part of their life. Like, I'm not the rich auntie that just show up dropping off bags and buying cars and stuff like that. So ever since that injury, like, the things that I say are important, my core values, like, I can show them on paper. Like, I can show them through pictures in my phone. Like, I've been at these things. I do these things intentionally. But the exposure literally happened because I tore my Achilles. I had no idea that I was that. All right. I knew I was people pleaser a little bit, but not to that nature.
to that extent.
I did not know to that extent, but, like, my life got exposed when I tore my Achilles.
And I think that's what happens a lot of times. And if we would have that perspective, it would be more helpful. A lot of times it takes something drastic for that realignment to have to take place. So a diagnosis, you know, an injury. Unfortunately, sometimes it's a loss, whether that be a person, a job, you know, a relationship, all those. Like, we always have, like, these events in our life that, like, happen. And at that point, it seems like life is happening to us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, like, relax. Or maybe it is happening to you for you to make a change, you know, because without those things happening, we're not going to change.
Yeah.
Like, the path I was going down, did I always know I could lose weight? Yes. Did I ever do it? No.
Yeah.
The reason why? Because, I didn't have no issues. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. I'm big, but yeah, look, I can still move around. I still don't have a problem getting women. You know what I'm saying? Like, it hasn't negatively impacted me.
He's taken
me.
Now, just so we're all clear.
Yeah, I mean, no
I
doubt.
I don't want y'all to get confused. Saying? Don't get it twisted.
Coincidentally, it was after I lost weight. Let me stop playing.
Because you know why? God needs you to be healthy in order to have somebody.
Facts. Okay. Facts. But, like, it's just like these things happen, and we, without them happening, we wouldn't make the necessary changes. So it's like something abrupt sometimes has to happen. Like, sometimes a car accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that's what it takes for you to be like, I don't need to be driving with my phone in my hand. Even if the accident don't happen to you, if you just narrowly avoid it, it's like, like, there's been times where I'm scrolling, and then next thing you know, something happens wild around me that, like, sobers me up. Like, whoa,
Whoa.
Like, I could
have. You was like, did it? Oh, okay. Yeah, like, all right, let me sit up.
What? Is throw my the phone in the back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need this phone nowhere near me. Because the priority is getting to where I need to get safely. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, not coming home is not an option.
You will affect a lot of people's lives if you don't come home, right. Christopher. A
so, lot of people's lives. Like, that has been something that, like, you know, it those type of things make us, like, reevaluate. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you were able to make those changes, even though it took, you know, the Achilles, you know what I'm saying?
It took my Achilles heel.
Yeah, but I mean, it's back, though, and you can...
we back.
You ain't even got no limp.
Nope, no limp no more. No limp. I'm trying to get back on this basketball court, though. Slowly, not competitively.
Yeah, I was about to say, my days of running full court over.
Them taking charges, diving on the floor, playing in co-ed leagues, that's over. I'm just trying to shoot a jump shot.
Right, I'm an old head.
Shoot some foul shots.
Yeah, I'm spotting up in the corner.
I'm trying to get assists. Yeah. I ain't trying to steal the
ball. I ain't even going to guard you that hard. You know what I'm saying? You might get some buckets on me because I'm like, ooh, what? You got moves.
Is that man to man? Oh, I'm a zone type of person.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
3-2? Yeah, I'm a zone.
Whoever I'm covering going to look like Kyrie out there.
Yeah, you do a whole mixtape off me.
Listen.
Send it in. Yeah. I'm fine.
Just make sure I look good. Yes.
Don't dunk on me, though. You know, yeah, don't dunk on me. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be somebody posting
I'll low bridge somebody. I'll take them out.
I'm not. We too old for that now. People got health insurance they got to deal
Remember
with.
Remember when we, during the pandemic, you went out and hooped. I stayed right on the sideline. I said, nah.
No, you did stay on the sideline.
I was like, yeah, y'all got this. It looked fun.
So it was a great time. You know, it was a good time, but it could have got dangerous. One slip, you know, at our age, we won't bounce back like we used to.
Right. You'd be out for 3 months.
Which is crazy because that's how I tore my Achilles playing basketball. Didn't even make the shot. That's the crazy part. Literally, all air, too. I was
you shot an air ball and tore your Achilles?
No, double L. Story time.
Double
L. So I was playing. So I like to play basketball. I still
1,000 points in college. I was there. My bad. Go ahead.
Because you've always been. That's why people be like, "Yo, y'all friends?" No, we're real friends. Like, he's literally been there. I don't think I'm 33. You might have missed 5 birthdays since we've known each other. Like, we're real friends over here. but yes, playing basketball with some dudes. The only female, and we was doing the drill. Like, if your team lose, you gotta get off. You know. But we was uneven because somebody left. So it was like, if your team lose, whoever sucked the worst guy get off. So I'm the shortest. I'm like 5'3", 5'4", on the good day. Like, all of my teammates were like 5'10 and up, these brawling dudes. So I walked off the court every time. My team lost every time. Except this one time. We on there balling, right? And it's a tie score. I'm like, I'll never forget the shot went up. It bricked the other team. I told my teammate, I was at the top of the key, he hit me with this fire pass. I'm at the 3, I'm like, I'm winning the game. Like, put this team on my back, coach.
I'm winning the game.
Yo, tie score, I shot the ball. I thought somebody shot me in the back of my leg, right? Mind you, next to a police station, so I know I'm safe. I think so. So I turned around pissed, like, somebody just hit me with a bat. I took a step and fell. My teammate carried me off the court and then carried me to my car.
Then they carry you to the house, like
and
to the
then
door.
Also pulled up in front of my house and carried me inside my home while I waited for my family to take me to the emergency room. And that day was a day that changed Samantha's life for the better.
The people pleasing ended that day.
Yes. Yeah, so if you have switched from a friend to an associate or no longer on my phone, thank the Achilles.
And also let that be a message to you. You don't always got to put the team on your back. Sometimes
it broke me.
It's okay to just, you know, extra pass. You know what I'm saying? Teamwork makes the dream work.
I'm tired of losing.
Shout out to the dream team.
I'm still a little competitive. Oh, I saw
you
that.
See what
there.
I did there?
Okay. Sponsorship. Okay.
Oh, man. So what else we got? So since you're single, I got some questions for you.
Okay.
Because I'm not. So...
Again, just in case y'all want me to run that back, he is not single.
Not.
He's not. So don't think you on this couch because you out here trying to get in. He's got right. a girl. He's right. has a woman, excuse me.
You talk about it. All right. So, like, because now that I'm out the streets, you know what I mean? I don't know what the streets is like no more, you know what I'm saying? But I got questions for the streets, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll be at home, so I'll see if I can help you with it.
Well, you're going to be outside because that's where your husband going to find you.
That's right. Chris and I made a deal. I have to go out once a month now.
Yes. like, at least.
And not in sweatpants.
At least.
Yes.
Yes.
Although I do have some more right now.
That's fine.
I'm on the comfy
You're here.
Couch.
Yeah,
That's
you're good.
Why.
You're good. Now, if you stop on the way home and y'all somewhere, you know, maybe he'll like.
He'll be at Wawa. He's going to be at the store?
Yeah, he's going to be at Wawa.
I am hungry. But
Yo, get them sweet potatoes.
Are they really
good? Wawa got sweet potatoes, y'all, and they fire. They fire.
No, so, you then know again, how I feel about disclaimers.
I got them in
Is it because of the Wawa you went to?
I was about to say, yeah.
Or is
I was
it consistent?
Say, I don't know if it's consistent.
Okay, you can't do that.
Because I don't know what they're doing in the Ville.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying. It depends on what neighborhood you go to.
So, yeah.
Disclaimer.
All right.
Check your cook.
So, so when it comes to, like dating, like, what's some of the things that, like, are deal breakers in the dating field for you right now?
You don't believe in Jesus. It's number one.
Okay.
And that's because I'm not a negative person with this word I'm about to say, so clutch your pearls if you are. I'm going to submit to my husband. Right? Can't submit to you if you don't submit to God. Because then you're not leading me properly. And if you're not leading me, why would I follow you? So you gotta rock with him, right? I'm not saying you gotta be praying an hour a day, your whole life revolves around him, but know that he exists, right? And let me see the actual fruits of it, right? Because you can tell me I'm a family person, right? So I'm gonna have a family, whether I gotta adopt them or what, I'm gonna have some children. And you can't tell me you're a family person, yet you're never with your family, right? And you never bring up your family, right? You can't tell me that you are an active person and you like to do active dates. Like, you want to go and you want to do rock climbing. You like to do mountain biking. You like to do this and that. And, like, all you do is sit on your phone. Like, you don't even go out with your friends, right? So I have a hard time. I'm an actions person. I don't really go for words, right? You can say whatever you want, a text message or a phone call. I let you talk my ear off, right? Not to put an AirPod in and just walk around. I let you talk my ear off. You don't have no action and no follow-up. I already judge you, right? I'm not here to waste my time, right? I love hard, really, really hard. And I don't have time for it to be wasted. So if you don't follow him, I can't submit to you. And that's just a waste. Like, not. I don't need new friends. If I do get some, okay, but if your initial intent was to pursue me, I don't need you as a friend, right? Because the lines will be blurred. Mm-hmm. My husband is going to want a family, and he's going to be an active father, not just one who, like, shows up to a game. He's not going to be one that just, like, oh, I'm going to put him down. Like, if I walk out the door, my kids shouldn't be clinging to me because they're afraid to stay with you, right? This ain't babysitting. Mm-hmm. We did this together.
Right.
We two of us made this child, or twins. Oh, Lord, if we get twins. But, you know.
That'd be
lit. As long as they're healthy.
Yeah.
As long as they're healthy. That's like definitely, definitely, definitely a big thing. I need him to be open-minded, right? Some things I'm going to lead in, some things he's going to lead in. And it's not because he's less than, but it's just we need to make sure the best person is doing the best job. So whether that's financially, whether that's something as simple as like planning, right? If he's a better cleaner, by all means, tell me what you want me to scrub, right? I'm not here to stand in your way. You want to cook these meals and you don't want me to? I will bust these suds. Like, but that is something that, like, he's got to be open-minded. And I need him to have his own set of friends. Like, we're going to be besties, right? Because we're not only going to love each other, we're going to genuinely like each other, right? But we don't got to do everything together. Like, I cannot wait to make memories with you, babe, but we ain't got to do everything together. But, like, let me come home and tell you how something went. Like,
right.
Yeah, we don't got to do, like, if I go to paint and sip, you don't got to come with me. Like,
yeah.
Let me tell you how it went. But if you want to do me and you paint and sip, that's fine, right?
Right. But I'm still going to do something separate.
Yeah, I'm going to do something separate, right? And don't stalk me. We could share locations for safety reasons, but, like, if I'm at Panera Bread, you don't got to be like, oh, I see you still there 2 hours. I might be meeting my friend. We're probably talking. Like, don't stalk me, right?
So you need somebody secure.
Yes.
Yes.
And we are going to be very intentional with our dating because we're going to have a healthy marriage. So one thing that I had to work on, which actually worked out really well for me in my last relationship, was tough conversations.
Yeah.
So I was never good at tough conversations because I didn't like confrontation. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize, like, you can have a tough conversation and not turn into a confrontational situation when you're having a conversation with someone who's open and yes. who's actually genuine. But that was hard for me to learn. Not that my previous relationship before that was that, and I didn't see that example in my parents, but other people around me, I would just see it a lot, and I'm like, yeah, that's a no for me. That's trash. Like, that's a no for me. So I more so would just be like, no. So intentionally, my last relationship I went into, Shout out to my boy Quan. He's got a clothing line called Be Intentional. I rock it all the time because it's like my motto. So I intentionally went to that relationship transparent, which is something that, you know, like, I can't stand transparency, right? Because exposure, uncomfortable situations, it was just a situation where I was like, I want a transparent marriage. Like, definition-wise, the way Samantha looks at it, like, honesty is I ask you and you tell me. Transparency is you tell me without me asking you, right? And that's the type of marriage that I want. I'm not saying that you're hiding anything. I'm not saying I'm hiding anything. But I just want an open relationship, right? I don't need someone to come and tell me what my husband did, right? Like, what, that's whack. And if you're doing it to try and hurt my feelings, you whack. Because I already knew that because my man told me. Damn. Mm-hmm. so he has to be, you know, willing to be transparent. He's got to be open to therapy, right? Because we're trying to have a proactive marriage, not a reactive marriage.
Right.
And then I just really need him to enjoy life. Like, I need him to, like, enjoy having fun. And
then wake up with that same energy that you got.
I might not,
vigor,
listen, I don't know if anybody could do what I do with this. Like, I wake up, well, you know, I wake up like this. Like, I'm just, hello. Like, it's just what I do. So he can wake up with a little raspy voice if he'd like to, right? But when he wakes up, he needs to give me a kiss. Like, hello, acknowledge me. If you kiss me when we went to bed, I woke up again. Give me a kiss. He has to be comfortable with head rubs. I thoroughly enjoy sitting on the couch. I'll rub my own head from time to time. Like, what? My friends know, if you see me rub my head, just give me a blanket. I'm probably not going home. Especially if I get down to my forehead. What?
So how does that? How does that work? Like, you just...
What?
Like, you just...
When I do it? So right now, I got the bun in. So if I had the bun, I would literally just start in the middle.
Okay.
And you don't put a lot of pressure. It's just a little bit and slide up.
Okay.
Right? When I wear the curls, though, I'd be all in them root circles, right? Up, down, circles. All of that. Yes. And I want my man to be comfortable with me spoiling him. I love spoiling people. Love it. Like, babe, let me take you on a date. Like, I'm going to send you the text, like, what you doing Wednesday at 8, right? Be dressed. And my favorite line is, like, sneakers or hard bottoms. That'll dictate your outfit.
Yeah.
We going out. You going to let me pay for it. We ain't got the macho stuff. You can still open my door, though, babe. But, like, be confident, understand. Like, you going to get spoiled sometimes. Like, sometimes I'm going to hug you from the back and hold your waist because you're my man. Like, you know?
Yo, you know what's
funny? Be comfortable with the hugs.
I promise you, I had this conversation yesterday because somebody posted something on Instagram like, men, y'all need to start being comfortable being a little spoon. And, like, I was like, yo, like, low key, being a little spoon is lit. Because, like, all right, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You do the big spoon thing. That's normal, right?
But your arm tired of falling asleep.
Yeah, joint, this left arm right here, thing be, whew. I don't even know how these fingertips are still on here. You know what I'm saying? Because the blood don't be
the
reaching.
The blood don't reach down there for y'all.
But and I'm the type of person, like, when I'm ready to go to sleep, my thing is I roll over to the opposite way.
Away from
okay. My lady. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm because that means, all right, I'm really trying to fall asleep. Because the longer
I gotta go to bed. I got things to do.
Yeah, because if we lay in here like this, like, either we're going to stay cuddled, which we're not going to do all night because it's just, like, physically impossible.
And it gets hot.
And it gets hot, and I'm a hot person.
Yeah.
And third, like, it can lead to stuff. And if we're not trying to do this right now,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Let me go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going to be disappointed. I'm not one of them people that's like, yo, we got to do it every night. You know what I'm saying? I still have my healthy, you know, you know, appetite and everything. But I'm past the age of being, like, a little, you know,
every night.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
a little too old to be dry humping too. It's kind of awkward.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. I've grown up. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Like, we ain't got to do the... But, like, if I roll over and she ain't done cuddling, sometimes that little arm come around me. That little leg
no,
come.
It's the
like,
leg. It's the leg with the head drop.
Sweat.
Bruh.
And look, and I got the body now, even though it's a little ashy right now.
Nobody but, like, can see it.
Thank you.
Yo, I forgot. Yo, your phone is mad clear. I forgot. You got some.
Luckily,
good
we ain't in 4K right now. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't
rub the dome.
Man, the rub for me. Man,
you know, people really.
That's that intimacy.
Yeah, like everyone feels like intimacy has to be sexual. Like
it doesn't. I think that's the last
intimacy,
thing. Yeah.
If you can have a conversation with me, especially about some books. What? Like, literally the ability to hold a conversation. You don't need to pick up your phone.
Or a sermon.
Like,
or something else that you might have just experienced. Like, all those things.
Yeah, like, let's just talk about it. Like, let's just chat about it for a little bit.
Yeah, like, what did you get from that?
Yeah, intimacy doesn't have to be sex all the time. Because the end of the day, that's all you got. That ain't enough. Mm-mm. Like, it's really not. Your wife has a kid. You on a 6-week hold. And you don't bring nothing but that? Like, come on, she needs somebody to do the dishes. She needs somebody to pick the kid up. Like, all you bring in is your penis. That's a problem. And penis is in the Bible, people, so calm it down. yeah, but that's an issue. Like, that's really an issue. That's really all you bring to the table.
Yeah. But at the same time, that's a lot of people's reality, unfortunately.
Because they settled.
So, yes, yes.
What? That's the truth.
It is. It is. Look, you know how I am. And for people that don't know how I am,
let them know.
I'm one of those like people that's like really opposed to settling. Maybe because like I'm, and when I say I'm opposed to it, it's like I'm speaking about like my friends and the people I care about. I'm surrounded by a bunch of dope women. You know what I'm saying? Like my friends are like really dope. So when I see them with somebody that like ain't really
beneath them,
I'm trying not to put it that way, but yeah,
I'm black and white.
Yeah, so like it bothers me because like I want so much better for them, even though they may not want that for themselves. Like for instance, you know, I remember we was in the car going to church. And I was like, yo, like somebody called Samantha. And they were describing their ailments and their issues. And, like, without a pause or nothing, Sam was, like, just running through, like, oh, that's your patula abligata of the leg patella tendon wrapped around. So if you do this, and I'm like, yo, you really a doctor. Like, you really do this doctor stuff. Like, you know your stuff. You didn't have to pull out your phone and Google nothing. Like, oh, I think I read this in, you know, undergrad. Like, you really got your stuff together. Trina, you know what I'm saying? Like, traveling nurse. Like, Brittany's like a scientist or something. Like, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, like, the women I'm surrounded by are, like, really dope. Mm-hmm. Really got a lot going for themselves. So, like, if it's a dude that come around and, like, I'm not one of the people that's like, oh, his job got to exceed yours. Yeah. But, like, just come to the table with intentionality, with, you know, your stuff together, with a plan. And if those things are lacking, like, that's an issue. So, like, I be looking around, like, sometimes, and I'm not a hater. Like, yo, I want all the guys that are dating my female friends to know I have not kicked y'all in the back. What I may have done is offer some perspective, but I don't kick anybody in the back because I don't know what's going on in people's homes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what I'm being told and I know what I see, but that doesn't mean I know what the real is. So I just think that people need to not settle.
No,
you see that or feel that you are, like you said, maybe it's time to have a tough conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And if that other person can't handle that conversation, maybe that's not the person for you.
Yeah. So I've realized that people go off of potential, right? And it's like they saw something one time and they're like, I know this person could be this. Right. And they stay and they don't leave. And it's like, but everything you prayed for is not in this person. But you see one thing that makes you feel like confident. Right. I believe in soul ties. Like the heart wants what it wants, but it doesn't mean that it's good for you. Mm-hmm. And then once you break it and then rose colored glasses come off and then you realize like, darn, I was really wilding. Like I was tripping. But that goes back to self-awareness. Like you got to know your people around you. Like, if Eunice tells me a guy is trash, I'm like, no matter what my heart feels, it's a dub. Like, I'll probably linger it. It's a dub. Story time. So Chris and Eunice are the ones that tell me when people are trash, right? Let's keep it 100, right? Those are people I go to. Story time. So Chris and I were just come home from church, and somebody hit me up. And Chris was like, just shook his head, right? And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. Chris hit me with a head shake, which meant, right, let's read between the lines, don't do it, the bull trash. I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. Go hang out with him. Bull girlfriend, best friend walk up to me. And I'm like, Chris, he's like, I mean, I wasn't going to tell you unless you asked me, but I could tell through the behaviors that were going on that this just wasn't for you. But again, you got to know, like, when Chris was not being a hater, right? Chris looked at the fruit that this man bared, told me the fruit, told me it was orange tree. I told him it was lemon. Obviously, I was wrong. But, you know, again, it comes down to, like, knowing who to deal with. And I had to make a decision with dating of, like, all right, you know what, God? This time, like, I put everything in you, right? My career, my family, like, hedge of protection around my family is insane when it comes to Samantha's prayers for her family. And my friends, right? I even pray for, like, my patients. I pray for my coworkers. And I would say, God sent me my man, but I would never let him send it to me. So I went through this season. Yo, this is, God just really be just, three dudes in a row, right? Chat, so not at the same time. Let's get this very clear. I don't got time to be dealing with multiple people at one time, so I don't want y'all to get this twisted. So I had met this guy, right? We exchanged numbers, chatting. I went on like a date or two or whatever. Talking, and I'm like, oh, he seems like he's mad cool, right? And then God's like, oh, let me show you. Man, my man had a girlfriend. Next guy, chatting with him, right? I'm like, all right, let me remember the things of the last time. Use these as examples. Chatting. You know, went on a few dates. Met his family. My man had a girlfriend. Third one. Let me keep it quick for you. My man had a girlfriend. So I'm like, oh, so I keep picking cheaters, right? Cool, God, I got it. I'm going to let you pick this next one, right? Because I don't need the same thing over and over again, which right. Obviously I was just entertaining people with different names, but I was like, cool, and this time I'm going to just leave it up to you. Like, I don't need it. But I use that as my example, and for y'all that are listening, like, just because you broke up with somebody and they got a different name, the pattern is the exact same. So it's probably you. So the issue was me, right? The issue was me. I was too trustworthy, right? They're like... Some of the consensus that came back was like, I wasn't involved enough. Like, I didn't check in on them enough. I didn't want them enough. So I was just like, in my brain, I'm like, you didn't articulate that. But that's fine. You know, that's fine. So when it comes to dating, like, you should really have people in your corner who are genuinely, like, examining the fruit of the person that you're dating. If you want to bring them around. If you don't bring nobody around until you're ready. Like, I don't bring anybody around. I top it off of my nephews. Like, if I'm not trying to introduce you to my nephews, I know you actually not serious. Because I can't expect them to go in the world and be men, and I'm bringing around somebody trash. So what, like, that's stupid. Like, I would never introducing anybody to my nephews that I don't think I would take serious. Like, that's just dumb. So when I look at settling on the other side of it, it's like, same fold. Like, I don't want a child with you if... You and I can't create something. Because I don't want to raise a child in an environment where my kids never going to lack. Where I'm doing all the work and my kid sees that. Now, my daughter goes out and dates somebody like her father. And now I'm watching my daughter struggle. My daughter's calling me to babysit. And or my son sees his father like, all I got to do is sit down.
Right.
All I got to do is work 12 hours out of the day. I'll always have a home-cooked meal. I'll always have a clean home. I'll always have everything that I need, like. I'm going to be an example for somebody's future doctor, for somebody's future lawyer, for somebody's future therapist, right? So I can't settle in life and then be that example for somebody else because that's just wild. And I just know God didn't build me to be with somebody trash. Like,
point blank period.
I feel it in my spirit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel it in my spirit. Like, I'm somebody's wife.
Yeah.
Like, I really am. And I'm not about to date somebody random and trash who's going to mess up my timeline. Like, I'm trying to get as much time on my husband as possible. You feel me? Like,
right. Yeah. No, I've had settling, those conversations.
I just don't see, I don't see me settling. Like, and my bar is not high. My bar is for me.
Yes.
Yeah, my bar not high at all. My bar is for me.
Like, right. And people, let me not speak for women, but as a man, with a lot of female friends, or a lot of women friends, because a lot of women don't like to be called females. So a lot of women friends. Okay. I know, Samantha. But yeah, but like, that statement is very profound. Like, your bar is not high. Your bar is your bar. Yeah. The only thing that comes along with that is like a small caveat, is also have a realistic bar. Mm-hmm. Like, don't have your bar, and your bar is, like, crazy, and you not together. I'm trying to say it delicately, yeah. But yeah, like,
let me help you. Let me be black and white.
Go ahead. You
I can't ask for something that I'm not giving. So I want my man to be down with Jesus. I need to be with Jesus. I want my man to physically look good. I need to be going in the gym. Hence why I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes 5:30, depending on what I was doing the day before. Like, I can't want my man to cook and then I can't cook. I can't expect my man to clean and I don't clean. I can't expect my man to be financially responsible and I'm begging my parents for money for my bills, or I'm begging my siblings, like, hey, let me hold $50, right? So the things that God and I chat about when my man finds me, like, we've been working on that. You know, I got my financial advisor and everything. Like, we've been working on those things because I can't ask for that. Now, I would do want my man to be taller than me. I do understand, you know. Right. I do understand, you know. I know, rip up your lists out there. But, you know, I'm just not trying to look down when I hug somebody. I want to wear heels.
5'5" and up.
Okay. I mean, if the Lord needs me to,
okay,
I'd be open. But I like to wear heels. Like, I'm kind of be cute for my man. Like, so when I wear my
heels, tomboy phase is, well, you know, it's not gone. It's not gone, right? It's definitely not gone. But you're splitting it up now.
Yeah. What up, blood? Never leaving me. Never leaving me. I just know how to manage it better. Uh-huh. I'll say it that way. I know how to manage my. I know you can't live in sweatpants all day, but if you got the right kind, they're comfortable, right? People buying trash sweatpants. That's the problem. People buying dress sweatpants. my husband and I, it's going to be tough. It's going to be an adjustment, right? Never lived with somebody, so that'll be a big adjustment.
Yeah, you think you're going to like be able to like be comfortable relinquishing like that control?
Not in the beginning. Nope. Mm-hmm. No.
So you don't think so in the beginning, but you think it can get there like later on?
Oh, yeah. Like, I would prefer, if we're in a financially good state, I'd rather. So before, I came from a world of I didn't want to live with anybody until I was married. That has adjusted to I will now live with somebody when I'm engaged, because I would rather break off an engagement than pay for a divorce. And I say that to say people can hide who they are on a 6-day vacation. You can hide who you are on a 2-week vacation, right? By the time I'm engaged, I will have seen different seasons of my husband in the sense of, like, I will see him angry, right? I will see him happy. I will see him sad, because everyone doesn't need the same response when they're angry. Some people want, like, what can I do for you? Some people need to be left alone for 2 days, right? Once I have an understanding of that, it's cool. So by the time we get engaged, let's live together, right? Let me see what these habits are, because there might be some non-negotiables that I'm not comfortable with. But if I wait until we get married, then it's like, you hid this, we hid this from each other. It's probably something I'm going to do that he ain't going to like. Mm-hmm. But we hid this from each other.
Right.
So I am open now to moving into someone when I am engaged. And financially, like I said, we're stable. I would like us to move into a place. I don't want me to move into his. I don't want him to move into mine. Right? Let's do this together. Because I put, you know, my seasonings on this side. I'm a lefty. You want yours on the other side. Right? Nah, bro. This is my spot. Or he's like, this is my spot. I don't want to do all that. So,
yeah.
Financially, hope we're in a good space where we can like move in together. And then that's how we will create our house boundaries and our house rules, let's say. But, you know, when you live when you have your own for so long, it's just like, you want me to share with you? Like, all right, let's do this. It's different when you got sleepovers, you know, 3 nights. Yeah. But,
and also our ideas of sharing are different. You know what I'm saying? like me personally, like, I could be like, oh yeah, I'm down to share. Like, yeah, move in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and then like the second you want to redecorate.
Oh, not the Wakanda off the wall. Not the Wakanda.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You want to take my, you know what I'm saying, my Chadwick Boseman picture off the wall. And I was like, dang, like, you want to come in here and do all that? But like,
she's trying to make it a home, not right. a hangout.
Or and not even that. Like, say if it is like a situation where they're moving into my space,
yeah,
as opposed to, you know, being in a space where you can like go get a place together. Like, they may still view it that way. Yeah. They may still look at it as like, oh, this is your house.
I'm on my way to your home.
Yes, unless you create it in a way where it's like, oh, no, we're going to redo everything so that you feel comfortable. Because not that I think your responsibility is to make people feel comfortable. But I do think you have a duty to create the space for someone to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make anybody make people feel comfortable. Yeah. Like,
you can create an environment for them.
Right. For comfortability to flourish, you know, for that to be something that you grow into. The same way, like, it's not your responsibility to make somebody else happy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people have to come happy or make themselves like you. They have to do the work for them to be happy.
Or you can expose them things to allow them to be happy, but it's ultimately their decision.
Right. So like those things, like there's just so many nuances. That's why I hate having like conversations like the whole like, oh, 50-50 and yada. It's like, fam, there's so much nuance.
If you're listening, we're not doing 50-50. Just want you to know that. We're not doing that. I'm not doing 50-50.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing that.
What you doing?
What is this? What are we like? No. We're splitting everything down the middle? No. 100, you come whole, I come whole.
Right.
Like, we're not.
You know what's crazy? Somebody said, doing that. I said that to somebody.
Or you could be working comments. On wholeness sometimes. Things happen. You don't got to be 100%.
I said that in somebody's comments of their podcast. And they were like, oh, no. And it was like, they were like very indignant about it. Like, okay. that just doesn't work. That's not realistic. There's no such thing as 100-100. So now that I've restarted my show, let me explain what I mean by, you know, people going 100-100.
Please enlighten me.
So I'm also the same way. Like, I don't believe in 50-50, right? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like once you, I personally don't want to do percentages, period. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole 70-30, 75-25. like I don't want to split it up at all.
Yeah.
Reason being is because like, I feel like when you're in a relationship, it should simply be, we got this. Mm-hmm. However that looks, right? So.
Wait, sorry to cut you off real quick. I can't wait until the day I tell my husband, like, I got you. Like I'm so serious. Yo, I can't wait until, like, like, when I tell my friends, like, I gotta go. Like, I'm going home to my husband, like, and he knows, like, I got him. Like, I can't wait to tell my husband that. I should put in my vows. Yeah. But I am.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
What's in the episode? So,
so I know what to put in there. But I can't wait. Sorry to interrupt. When you said that, it made me think of that. I can't wait for that.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's going to be a beautiful time.
Yeah. Then he's going to kiss me on my forehead because he's taller than me.
Right. And with the heels on, he's going to be taller. Mm-hmm. So the reason I say that is because, like, I feel like when you put percentages on stuff, mm-hmm. you put limits on people. So it leaves too much space for there to be, like, either someone to feel like they're inadequate or for someone to feel like you're not doing enough. So what I mean by that, let's say, let's do easy numbers. The car note is $100, mm-hmm. and we agreed to do $75-25. That means I got to pay $75, you got to pay $25.
Yeah.
And I'm paying all the other bills in the house, that's, you know, whatever, that's just how we split stuff up. If it comes to a point where, like, I look over at my lady and she like, oh, well, after I did everything I need to do, I only got $10, and now I got to pay $90, I don't want her to feel like, I'm not carrying my weight. Or vice versa, not that I have this spirit in me, but like be looking at her like, dang, you can't even do that. You know what I'm saying? Like you ain't got 10? You ain't got 10%? Like,
so you ain't tithe?
You ain't got nothing. So it's just like, I don't want, like, if I got the 90, why is it an issue if you only got the 10? We're giving all that we can give. If my capacity is to give the 90 while you only got the 10, mm-hmm. what's the issue?
And that's why you don't let people in your relationship.
Right. And that's why, like
this is our relationship.
Right.
We'll need you.
And just 100% of what you can do. That's what I want. If we want to put 100% of what you can contribute is what I want. Yeah. Because I'm going to give you, and if my 100 is 100 and everything is fine, then we good. I'm not going to look at you crazy. It works for us.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to be in these things where it's like, oh, well, what you bringing to the table? Fam.
But that's between, so let's get this clarity note, right? Mm-hmm. I'll build the table. Don't play with me. Like, ain't no what you bring to the table.
We know, you build decks.
Like, hello, I do. But I think that mindset, either one, is an environment that they came out of something, right? Mm-hmm. And they saw someone struggling. So they made in their mind, I'm going even. I'm never going to be this or that, right?
Get taken advantage of.
Yeah, I'll never be taken advantage of. I'll never have this. I'll never have that. Or it's this sense of, like, they got that from, I hate to say it, right? A couple that it works for them, mm-hmm. right? But every mentor, mentee, every book you read, you have to take bits and pieces that work for you. Yeah. Like, you go to these three-day conferences. Let's say you go to a relationship conference, right? You go to a singles conference. Like, you have to take out what works for you. We're all different individuals. So if 50-50 works for you and the man or woman you decide to be with, cool. You don't have to force me to do 50-50 if I'm cool with 100 and 100. If my percentages ain't your percentages, but our bills are paid. Why do you care?
Right.
Right? You shouldn't care. If me and my man are doing 100 and 100, that's fine. Y'all doing 50-50 and y'all got y'all separate bank accounts or whatever your mind works with, that's fine. But like to dictate to somebody how someone else's marriage should go and you're not even a part of it, it's blasphemy.
Blasphemy. I ain't take these vows with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't say I got you to you. I said to my man. Right. Like, what?
Yo, you've been practicing at home, huh?
For what?
The way my man.
Yo, you gotta be prepared. Just saying. I don't know.
You can't wait.
Yo. What? What?
That's hilarious.
I can't. Like, I love. Like Hallmark fanatic.
Oh
like
my gosh,
Black
yes.
Love fanatic. If y'all never seen Black Love, unfortunately it's over, but you can still go see the episodes. It's like because I feel like everyone looks at love like this miracle story, right? Like, oh my God, it's a fairy tale. Like, love is an action word.
Mm-hmm.
It is something you have to do daily. You can't just wake up and say, I'm turning off love. Like, and when I see true love, the love of like, we've been through ups and downs. I'm not telling nobody to beat on you, just for clarity. Mm-hmm. But like, we've been through ups and downs. We've been through flaws. And y'all still like got each other. Like, y'all are still there for each other. You know, the world now, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, diagnoses, career changes, right? Someone could be making six figures and their heart is broken. Now they down to making four, right? They're down to making five. And to still be covered by the person you said I do to because they want your happiness over your financial stability, like, is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, to truly see people in love. Like, I, when I go out, I watch couples, right?
And mm-hmm.
Some of my friends know this. I intentionally watch couples. I'm like, yeah, they ain't in it. They ain't.
You just judge it from afar.
Yeah, I'm just looking like, yeah, they must have had an argument or something. Like, they ain't in it. Like, and then when I see them, yeah, I never forgot some Applebee's ones. I saw this old Black couple. This man looked at her like she was the greatest thing on earth. Like, she eating her food and my man is met. Mind, they could have been newlyweds. I'm just assuming they've been together forever. Looked at her like she was, got her door for her. Like, mind you, like, he's a little fragile himself, but like, mm-hmm. got her little seat, pulled it out. Then I was just like, look at me and my man in 50 years. Like, look at these examples. But I'm sure they had trials. I'm sure they had tribulations. Like, and to be able to still be together through those type of things, that's the love I'm looking for. I'm not looking for this, like, we taking pajama pictures on Christmas and I just cussed you out 10 minutes before. Like,
right.
Me and my husband are
just
not.
Just a post on the gram.
Yeah, I am not looking for no gram approval marriage. Okay. Not at all. Because half the people be in other people's DMs anyway. I'm not looking for that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking for, like, my soul is excited to see you. You walk in the door, I'm just, like, smitten. Like, just smiling. Like, that's my man. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just smitten. If you want to take holidays photos, that's fine. I'll put on a little jammies. But, like, I don't need that to be secure in our relationship. Like,
right.
I just, the true love, and like, I used to want to be married mad quick before, but now I'm like, whoa, take your time, Jesus. Not trying to do this again, right?
Right, one and done.
And I'm trying, you know, that's my goal. My goal mm-hmm. is one and done. Because I don't want to rush it. Like, that type of person that God has for me takes time. Like, he's probably being molded right now, you know? And if you are talking to somebody, you should probably let her go so we meet quicker. But, you know, he's being molded. Like, I'm being molded. There's still things I'm still learning about myself. Like, we'll constantly be growing even when we get together. But, like,
right. It's
a certain part of life that we have to get to in order for us to meet. And I don't want to rush it because I'm over here, like, chilling. Because some people settle mm-hmm. because they're lonely, right?
Right.
I'm single, but I'm not lonely. I'm thoroughly enjoying this life of mine. Like, but I think the settling part, like we talked about earlier, to spin it back around, is people are so lonely. Like, they just want somebody.
Yeah.
So instead of them waiting for
the
person
seasons of loneliness.
That, like, God, Allah, ancestors, crystals, whatever, has for you, right? You like, but I'd rather just be held at night. Yeah, but you're being held by Lucifer and his six brothers.
Mm.
Like, and that's the part of, like, your peace isn't worth a hug at night. It's not.
Boy, if, like, I had a bomb, I would drop that.
Like, it's not. Your peace is not worth being held at night, because when you really look at it, you were in bed, right? This person held you, let's say, and you got up and they literally gave you hell the whole next day, right? Girls calling you, oh, your man this, your man that, da-da-da. Or dudes calling, yo, you're shorty wild out here. Like, I'm in the club, your girl up here, like, talking to everybody, she's flirting with everybody. And you keep letting that person in because you want to be held at night? If you don't go get a My Pillow and go get a body pillow.
The body size?
Yeah, you gotta get a body pillow and throw that leg up on there and fall asleep.
Like, right. Put a picture of Morris Chestnut on the top of it.
Listen. Listen, PD be saying, yo, your greatest downfall and your greatest accomplishment is going to be a person. It's going to be somebody that walks on two legs. I'm already sometimes going to give myself turmoil. I don't need nobody else to. Like, I'm okay.
And because there's a different type of turmoils. You know what I'm saying? Like even in my relationship now, like, we're out the honeymoon phase. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the...
You in learning season.
Yeah, it's not like, I just love this. She used to do this thing where, like, she would just, like, sniff me, like, every time she would see me. Like, every time, like, just sniff the crap out of me. And, hey, like, not to say that she don't do it
now.
No,
but I'm just saying, at least that don't mean you wasn't stinking.
Yeah.
Just saying. Let's look at the positive. I know the line is smell good. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, we go through things. Like, she's seen the not-so-pretty side of Chris.
Which is a good thing.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's an even better thing because I'm not afraid to show her those things,
like vulnerability,
and a lot of it, too much of it sometimes, because I feel it's a safety that I feel there. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like things don't have to be in the greatest space for us to feel like we're thriving and we're, you know, moving forward.
Yeah,
I'm saying, like, we just went on a trip, and like,
shout out to the vacation,
and like, I don't know if it was the first night or the second night. But we had to have a talk.
And that's okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we had to get some things clear. We had to just lay some stuff out and make sure that we was on the same page, because we wasn't at first.
And y'all didn't break up from it because you had a healthy conversation.
And the next day, we had that was the best day that we had out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my opinion, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to talk to her about the other part. But, like, we had a great time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it was that tough conversation that you were, like, mentioning earlier. Like, in previous seasons, I wouldn't have had that conversation. I would have sat there with my attitude, counting down the hours and minutes until it was time to go. Went along and did my little fake smile thing. Yeah, sat on, scrolled the whole time. And, you know, that would have been that. But, like, being able to have discussions, be vulnerable, be honest, because you can be transparent without being totally forthright. You can be like, oh, I'm going through things. So she does this thing to me. Man, it irks me sometimes, but, like, it's what I need. And she definitely fills in a lot of spaces where I'm weak by her being stronger in those areas. She'll be like, you're talking, but you're not talking to me. Like, you're not talking about anything. We're just talking.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where's the details? Where's the actual, like, the meat of what's going on? Like, if I ask you about your day, oh, it was cool. How you feeling? I'm all right. No, how are you really feeling? Yeah. Like, use your words. Like, talk to me. Because if I don't know, how can I, you know, be the person that you need me to be for you? You know what I'm saying? And, like, I think it takes a lot for a man to get to a point where he just talks and
it's safety.
Unprompted. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you to your husband, babe, how was your day? Because you see that he's a little, you know, frustrated. Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, today was rough. You might immediately go into, like, oh, well, let me go cook your meal. Let me go do. And all those things are nice, right? But it's a temporary fix. It's like putting a Band-Aid on the issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, without
actually
doing...
I just changed your mood for a second.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's a quick pick-me-up. But then I got to go back outside and go right back to what brought me in here with that before. And eventually what happens is it spirals and it builds and it builds and it builds until that weight just becomes unbearable. Yeah. So for us to be able to, like, as soon as you ask, babe, how was your day? Let me tell you, this happened, this happened, this happened, and this is how that makes me feel.
Yeah.
That's where I think a lot of men need to get to, because, and me included, like, I need to work on it also. But it's just so heavy sometimes because, like, we're expected to lead.
But who put the expectation on you?
I think a lot of different, I think it comes from a lot of places. I think it comes from society or culturally. I think religiously, biblically, it puts that pressure on you. How you were raised, you know, your family values that were instilled in you. I think all those different things can play a factor. Mm-hmm. And it just depends on, you know, what you put more emphasis or more value into.
Okay.
Me personally, I feel like watching my dad was a gift and a curse.
Okay.
Like, I watched my dad be a provider my entire life. I never, like, although we had pockets of poorness and all that kind of stuff, like, we never were, like, struggling kids. Like, Got we it. Didn't know how bad it ever was. We didn't feel the
burden.
The burden of, you know, whatever my parents were going through. So I watched them work, and, you know, take care of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So in my mind, like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to work. I've been working since I was 15 years old. Like, I went into the office in high school. The day I turned 15, I was like, yo, let me get them working papers, yo. Like, it was like, oh, you getting a job? Like, no, but, you know.
I feel
like I'm supposed to have them filled out. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you're supposed to work. Like, that's what men do. Yeah. And I've always had a job. I've always lived on my own, like, once I moved out and all that kind of stuff. But what I didn't see was how my dad dealt with adversity. Okay. Because it was always hidden from us. So, because
you're a child.
I'm a child. You know what I'm saying? I don't see these things. I don't see how bills are backing up and, you know, what you have to do to get out of it. Like, I don't see. I'm working all the time, so it's impacting, you know, my marriage.
Yeah.
I don't see. I'm working all the time and I'm always in church, so I don't have a lot of time to spend with my kids. Yeah. Like, I felt that part, but, like, you know,
missing the games.
Yeah. Well, my dad made it to what he could.
Yeah. Understand.
But yeah. But, like, you know, outside of games, as far, not for nothing and not to badger my parents or, like, play them or anything, most of my experiences came from your family.
Okay.
Like, me going to the beach and all that kind of stuff. I had never been to a beach.
Because we real friends.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So I did that with your family. Yeah. Like, taking trips to such and such. Like, a lot of that stuff came. And that's where, like, a lot of my relationships with my friends came from, because I was always with my friends to do, like, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because my dad was busy. So, like, I learned some good things from him, work ethic and all those kind of things, and, you know, being a provider and not complaining along the way. But I also think that, in turn, is also a negative, because in my mind, you work and you don't complain. And you know, you need to vocalize, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to be a human. You need to be able to express, like, I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I'm not doing too good right now. Like, mentally, I'm not good. Physically, I'm not good. Emotionally, like, all those different things we need to be able to express also. And the first person, unfortunately, that gets the brunt of that is the wife or the girlfriend, you know what I'm saying? Like, your partner. Like, that's the person that you expect to go to. But what do you do if she's having the same problems that you have?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody's not, you're in a great space. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's awesome. Everybody doesn't love their job. You know what I'm saying?
No. That I do know that I'm blessed because I love my career. I do know that. I do see people who punch a check because they have bills to pay. And they'd rather suffer to pay their bills because it's scary. So let's be honest. Is money the most important thing in life? No. Does it affect everything that's important to you? Yes.
Yes.
So everybody can't just quit their job and go start a new career or go jump back into school. Like, that's not realistic. But I think it spins back around to what we said earlier. Like, your lady does a really good job, like how you said, of, like, just pulling it out of you, right? If she didn't pull it out of you, your step would be, I need you because this happened, right? But it's that thing again of, like, it's uncomfortable sometimes. And not just men. It's uncomfortable for women to say it too. I need you. But walking in and having that safety with your lady that you know if you walk in, you can say that to her and she's genuinely going to, she's not going to try and fix it right away, right? She's going to listen. So that safety that you now feel is something different. And it's not that the past relationships, you didn't feel safe, but you were always the person who provided the safety. Right. Now you feel covered. That's a different type of relationship. Like that opens up something different. And it opens up a different level of vulnerability and intimacy because I am safe around you, right? Like, not physically, obviously, you know, you might have to take somebody down, God forbid, or put two to a chest in case something happened.
Two to the chest, one to the head, you know what I'm saying?
I would say hit the Achilles, because then they can't walk, so it's easier, but I'm just saying. But that type of relationship, like, let's add that to my list of marriage, run the tape back, add safety.
Okay.
Gotcha. That is something that allows people to, like, I know, I'll never forget, my father once said, he said, I would never cheat on your mom. And I'm like, what? He was like, your mom was there for me when nobody else in the world was. Like, it's things I've gone through in life. Your mom has never left my side. He's like, your mom has sat with me pretty much when I didn't want to sit with myself. Like, it's hard to find a person in life who would ever do that for you. So to know that I had the potential to hurt her, one of the worst things, because it wouldn't hurt her. Now I hurt myself because she left me. I would lose everything.
Yeah.
And that level of safety doesn't come from sex. It doesn't come because you have six figures, right? Let's be real. It's loans out here. It's a lot of websites you can jump on if that's your choice. Like, you can get flown out to where you want to go for doing much less than... You can't pay for safety. Like, you can't pay for safety. You can't pay for genuine love. And that's the things I think people have a hard time with, because they settle. Like, if you... I hate to say it, but I'm going to just use a man because I'm a female, right? One time, somebody did something to me and I was just like, yeah, it's cool. I'm done. They're like, oh, what type of purse you want? Two things. One, lets me know you don't pay attention because I don't rock purses.
At all.
Two, it lets me know you thought I was one of them birds you used to deal with. You thought by buying me something, it was going to change my mood about you. I'm not going to change my mood. I'm going to just move differently. I'm going to mirror you. So let's mirror each other. You want to act like this? I'm going to act like this. But once I take my emotions out of it, I'm going, even if you still physically see me in your presence, right? I just might be bored one day and let you entertain me and let you take me somewhere. But like, probably going to wind up paying for it. I'm going to walk out and never speak to you again. Mm-hmm. But true value in relationships are things that cannot be bought. So as a man, you feeling this level of safety, right? You're never going to want to hurt your lady. Not because you don't care about her, but like, where are you ever going to find that again?
Right.
At this age, and knowing that she's genuine because you see her do it to other people. She's not just treating you like that. Like, you see her treat other people like that. And it's like, this is really who she is. Why would I ever do anything to lose her? Because I'm not just hurting her. Now I'm hurting myself and my future. So that's a big thing where, like, some people are with therapy. Some people aren't. I think therapy is a good thing. Be open.
Yeah.
Like, be open. And listen, I know we're going for this black on black right now. Nothing wrong with it. Bro, the black therapist don't call you back. Get anybody. Let somebody expose you. Because
yeah, my therapist's not black.
Listen, and this is the reason why, like, even if they aren't, right? Let's use this analogy. Let's say you never had sex till you're married, right? You have sex the first night, it's trash. You're not going to not have sex again. You're going to go back until you figure out how to make it better. Same thing with a therapist, right? It might have been trash. Go back a few sessions. It still ain't working? Well, I'm not saying get a divorce if you was married, but move on to the next one.
Yeah.
But you can't hold your mental health and your stability because you want a certain person of a certain color, right? Especially if you're not actively looking for them, right? You put in 50 applications and everybody's trash, you might not be being as honest as you need to be.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But like, don't hold back your growth because you're looking for a certain sex and a certain race to be able to help you, you know, help you just grow as a person.
Yeah.
But safety is something that you just can't buy. And that's why it's phenomenal.
Yeah. And the safety and the, like you said, the non-sexual intimacy, like, fam, it's transparent moment. Y'all shouldn't even have this type of insight into my relationship, but whatever, I don't care.
It's because we're on the cozy couch.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're on the cozy couch and I'm in my living room. What y'all going to do? I called my girl this morning and like expressed her that like I was struggling with something. Mm. And literally, like, after I expressed everything, the first thing she said was, can we pray about it?
And she's a cover.
Bruh. Pray right, not that generic. Lord, you're great, and you're going to take care of it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Like, really pray for us, and you know what I'm struggling with. Fam,
where are you going to find that at?
I don't know. I'm literally sitting on the other side of the phone. Like, I don't even know what I did to deserve to deserve this. You know what I'm saying? Like, how like lucky and blessed I am. So like, yeah, like it's just crazy, like, to see that side of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't experienced it before, and to know that it's out there, you know what I'm saying?
What? Hello. And my boy's 35 and it's out there. I just want y'all to know. So if y'all mad at 26, baby, don't settle.
Yeah, they be getting frustrated early.
Yo, don't get upset at 23.
I got a friend.
Don't get upset at 27.
I hope she listening.
Don't get upset at 31.
I'm sending this to her if she don't listen. She is young. I'm just going to say she young.
Hit me what age number. Is that okay?
She around 21.
What? Baby girl just got able to drink?
Yeah. And
we won't call her Minty, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
we gonna call her friend.
That's my little sister.
All right, well, yeah, let's go with that one.
Instead. Yeah, that,
okay.
That's the homie. That's the young homie. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, she's expressed some things to me that, like, so just some frustration with, like, men or whatever. And I'm just like, should be the last thing on your mind right now. Mm-hmm. Like, dudes, men. Yeah. Like, first off, you're not even really dating men right now. Because at 21, boys. Yeah, man, we still dumb. We still real, whoa, we dumb.
And you know what? Hold on. I'm not going to put it on y'all. We stupid, too, at that time.
Yes.
Like, and anybody that says we don't, you lying.
Yeah, we all dumb at 21. Mm-hmm. Like, very few people have wisdom. Yeah. There's a lot of smart people at 21.
Yeah, they ain't
a lot not a lot of people with wisdom at 21.
And a lot of great streaks rolling around at 21.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just be telling them, like, yo, like, you don't need to focus on that. Like, you need to focus on yourself. You need to learn yourself before you try to, like, find somebody and see how they're going to treat you. Like, we're in such a rush that, like, we miss all the time and opportunities that get presented to us through I wish I would have waited and just like chilled in my 20s and focused on myself. And oh my God. Fam, no, I kind of
needed you to have some of them stories because it helped me grow. I mean, I use wisdom a lot, people. I don't need everything to happen to me, but
don't let me be the crash dummy all the
time.
Watching
some of your stuff, I'm like, okay, we're going to navigate differently there. We're going to navigate. So I appreciate you for letting me have that insight in your 20s and let me be around to see some of that.
Man.
But hey, if you would have took your time, maybe you wouldn't have found your lady who you with now. Just saying.
I wouldn't be able to appreciate her.
Appreciate her now, I think, because of your 20s.
Because of my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My 20s.
Yeah. You lived. We'll just leave it like that.
Yeah, man.
You live. You live.
I remember you're that cultural flashback. I just said, man. 20s is crazy.
I remember, it's so crazy that we talk about the 20s and we 30, but I remember I used to want to be married so bad. And one day I got punched in the face with the realization I wanted to be married, but I was not ready to be somebody's wife.
Right.
Like, that level of unconditional love, that level of submission, I'm like, sis, you over here looking for the wrong thing. Like, you want this ring, you want to be married, but do you know what it takes to be a wife? Like, you know the sacrifices that it takes to be a wife? Like, even just things your bodies go through when you're pregnant, when you're not, when you're going through postpartum, like, do you know what it truly takes to be? You got to blend families. You got, you know, whether... In case your husband or wife does have a child before you. You got to blend families. Or what if you don't like their mom or something? Like, I'm a family person. I don't know how it's going to work if I don't like somebody's parents. But it's like, it took me forever to get that realization of like, wow, I really want to be married. But I was not prepared to be somebody's wife. And I really think we need that time. Because once I finally had the mental switch and the understanding of why I wanted a relationship so bad was because I was hunting for this marriage. Backstory, so my parents are college sweethearts. My sister and my brother-in-law are high school sweethearts. And my brother and his wife have known each other, I mean,
over 20 years.
For a while, right? my best friend's parents met in college. Like, the examples that I see around me are thriving Black couples, right? Who all go through their stuff, right? I'm pretty sure my parents probably cussing each other out. Did I ever hear it? Nope. Right? Because that wasn't my business and they made sure a child stayed in a child's place. But like, it's just, once I realized like we going after this for the wrong reason and I tapped into this single season, you do what you want, when you want, you travel where you want to go, when you want to go, like your money is your money. Like even if I got in a relationship right now, I would have to be conscious of like, I can't just pick up and go away for a week, right? baby, all right? Like, you good? Do you need a plus one in somewhere, right? I have to consciously be aware of someone else's feelings, right?
Yeah.
I have to call somebody or FaceTime the way this world works now. Or I got to, he's got to drive over. I got to drive there in any sense. Like, but I think a lot of people miss out on their single season. Like, a lot of people miss out on their single season because Chris's friend that's 21, the mentee that's 21, sis, don't do it. And you go everywhere you want to. Go travel first. You don't need no vacation. Find three solid friends. Travel. Stack your money. Have 3 months of an emergency fund. And be authentically you. And then he going to show up. It's going to just happen. You're not going to have to force it. If God tells you to go on Match.com, that's your business. But it's going to happen. But I'm telling you, at 21, if you force it now and it's not genuine, you're going to be somebody's baby mother. You're going to be upset. Like, you don't want that. You don't want to be just somebody's baby mother. Like, your kids shouldn't have your man's name before you do. That's wild.
Woo.
That's wild. I really feel like that way. I'm good enough to sleep with, but I ain't good enough. But I ain't good enough to have your last name. I'm good enough to raise your child, but I'm not good enough to have your last name. Math ain't mathing. Mm. Mentee, don't do it, sis. Don't do it. Don't do it.
That was deep.
I'm just saying, don't. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot.
You've had some time to sit
and honestly, I'm speaking from a healed person because I've been through things and gone through things and I'm on the other side, right? Yeah. In life, I'm a human. Things happen. But like being a healed person and being single, it's a lot different than being an unhealed person and being single.
Mm-hmm.
So I see the enjoyment of it now. Like where before it was a rush, like, oh, let me get into this next relationship. Let me get into this next relationship. So I see the true enjoyment of it. But I also know as I'm walking in this singleness, like, I'm done with certain things I no longer do. Like, I don't tolerate certain things because why should I? It's just kind of stupid, in my opinion. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, it's kind of dumb. So just walking in a singleness season of being healed is, like, phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a good time. It's a good time. Can't recommend it to you. You're in a relationship. But I'm just saying, if you got any friends out there who are single, it's a good time. Chris friend. If you're Chris's friend and you're single, it's a good time.
I only got like one.
Okay. Yeah. And they should know their worth.
Yeah.
Just saying. Don't let nobody take you to McDonald's. You know what I mean? If that's not what you deserve. You deserve Ruth Chris. You're at McDonald's. Man.
Everybody want to go to Ruth Chris.
And all you wanted was a milkshake and the machine don't work and they still took you there. You don't know your worth. You don't know your worth playing.
Yeah, but not to work them.
What?
Is it ever fixed?
Is what fixed?
I've never gotten like a McFlurry.
I've gotten one. I stopped going because the fries stopped being hot and crunchy. I like crunchy fries.
I don't even know who got good fries no more.
I don't know. I kind of stopped eating that food.
Yeah, you are healthy.
Oh, thank you.
Man, you are healthy. You. Eggs and avocado.
Well, I got. So, you know what I mean? I can't be asking God for a healthy man, and I'm over here scarfing down 52 burgers and a Diet Coke. Like,
oh, a Diet Coke. Diet Coke. This is a Diet Coke.
I can't be asking God for my man, and I'm out here, like, sleeping on the couch, not going to the gym. Like, not that I'm ever going to pick my man up, because I do know y'all feel like that's embarrassing, but what if I have to? I need to be able to.
Listen, no, you don't.
I need to be able to pick
all
Bae
you need
up.
To be able to do is get that man CPR if he pass out.
Oh, I got that. I'm CPR certified, Bae.
I got certified in high school. I don't know if
that
it
don't
worked.
Work. No, it's 2 years. 2 years.
That's it?
Yeah. So.
Man, I need to read that thing
but
up.
But listen, at the end of the day, your certification doesn't matter if you're saving a life. Hit them compressions on that chest.
Can't you get sued if you're not certified, though?
Not if they're unconscious.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a Good Samaritan law.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I ain't putting my mouth on random people.
If you ask them, you make a circle and put your lips on top of it. Okay. Yeah. But you got to do closed fingers so the air doesn't get through so their chest rises. But you have to, you know, I've thought about
just
that.
Blowing hot breath.
Just hot air, yeah. You all want right. Hot air, death on your bone. Chris lost another one. You don't want that on your record.
I don't. Mm-hmm. Fabulous taught me how to pass CPR, though.
Excuse me?
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Who ruined everybody's grammar because he doesn't spell it the right way.
I know, yeah, you spelled it wrong. Remember that song, Breathe?
Okay.
And he goes, one and then the two, two and then
I know
the
we're
three,
not having this as a serious three, conversation.
Then, four. Then you got I did that on the CPR chart.
We're not serious. Guys.
No, I'm serious. That's how I passed. Okay. I sung the song out loud while I was doing it. The whole class did it.
Like the compressions? Like
one and then a two.
Oh, okay.
Two and then a three.
Well, technically that's the pace. You're supposed to go for 30 seconds, but it's fine. That's right. That chest was probably like,
they said, oh, he back. They said, oh, turn that beat up. Just Blaze.
Yeah. I want y'all to know that I have waited my entire life
to get on the mic. It's like, shit.
Yeah, my friend Chris used to be a battle rapper.
Yo.
When we was in the booth, he used to do that. And I couldn't get on I wasn't allowed on the mic. I was only allowed to observe.
No, you was on one song. Remember that?
Yeah, and we got in trouble for that one. But just be clear, if you ever need a backup singer or backup ad-libs, do not call me.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know you're not volunteering yourself.
But yeah, I've always wanted to do that. So now it's my opportunity. Yeah. That was good, right?
That was pretty good.
Wait, let me go again.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was good. Those crickets. It's okay. That's not my ministry.
It's not.
It's not my ministry.
Yours is the welcome. Yeah.
That is it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. All right. So I picked your brain a lot.
Okay.
You got anything else? You got anything that you just want to tell the people?
Tell the people. What's our listening? What's our age range, you think?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. It's wide. It's wide range.
Click, subscribe, and share. Send the podcast to your people. Chris's comfy couch. next season on Complicated Simplicity. What do I want to say to the people? Be about yourself. We live in a world where everyone wants to be strong. Everybody wants to be a strong friend. That era's over. Strong friends break, and sometimes they break to a point you can't help them anymore.
Mm.
And they lose who they are as a person and the abilities that they have inside of them. Take the cloak off. Mm. Take the cape off, the cloak, Batman glasses, and your rocket shoes, whatever you have. Take it off. Find three safe people that you can open up to. They all don't need to know the same thing. But you should be able to have people around you that allow you to feel seen and allow you to feel protected. And that at the drop of a dime, will come to your rescue, even if it's just to sit next to you, right? You don't got to talk. But everybody in the world should have three people minimum. I wouldn't go more than five, but three people minimum who you can have to really just like cover you. You know, I rock with Jesus. So I definitely say cover you in prayer and not be ashamed. You know, not to be rude, but that whole like, Lord, God, come down, help my friend, right? That's a little dub. Like they need to pray over you. Like you should get goosebumps. Mm-hmm. Like they should literally cover you. You should cover them financially. Get into a space where you start budgeting. Money's not the most important, but it affects a lot of things, right? Leave an inheritance for your children's children. Like, don't live paycheck to paycheck. Stop going out. Downsize, right? Them grand pictures ain't worth you being in jail for tax fraud. PPP loans, they coming to get y'all one day. I want y'all to know that. But financially, like, put yourself in a good space. If you got a family that you love, blood or not, like, let them know. Appreciate them.
Yeah.
Send them random text messages. Like, you never know when we leaving here, ever. It could be today. It could be tonight. Like, tell people you love them. That was something hard for me. I tell Chris I love him. His lady knows. I think so. If not, I tell him that. Okay. It's kind of awkward she's found out. But, yeah, tell people you love them and mean it, right? Loving somebody and being in love are two different things. Don't ever get it confused, but love people. Let people feel seen. Stop disrespecting homeless people because you could be them one day. Come see your faith and your religion. Dive into it, right? Being a walking example. Bear the fruit of it. Whatever you feel like blesses your heart and your soul. Get a career. Don't get a job. These jobs drop people like flies in this pandemic. Get a career. You don't got to be an entrepreneur. We all can't be entrepreneurs. Somebody's got to work for somebody. Like, but just make sure that when you wake up in the morning and you go, you're going because you enjoy what you do, not because your light bill is going to get cut off. You're going to have to downsize. You're going to have to get a roommate. Like, don't stress yourself for people that can't even come sit with you when you're crying. Oh, that was good. That was good. Yeah. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. And be happy. Like, wake up. Somebody pisses you off, smile. Like, yeah. And don't fight. Fighting's beneath us. I'm too old for that.
Right, because you ain't going to recover the same.
Nah, yeah. If I got hit in the jaw right now, I might have to get that joint wired or something. Like, it's joint. You know what I mean? Like, I got good cheekbones, I got dimples, but I can't be getting stole. Like.
Nah,
we ain't unless stole. You mess with my family, it's a rot. We going taking out eyes.
We getting the blicky.
Nah, I'm going right for their eyeball. I put my nail right in their eyes and pushing them in. I've already thought about this. I'm small. I don't have much. I've already thought about this.
You're going for where you can be mighty, pushing most, eyeballs
listen,
in.
Listen, most vulnerable is the side of the knees. No one can recover once you hit them there. You can't. It's physically impossible to recover unless they got on knee pads. That's awkward. You wearing knee pads in public. So, yeah, I'm going for the knees. And when they crumble, my eyes are pushing their eyeballs in. And I'm not thinking twice. My mom got all the pins to the accounts. I'll get out. You're not going to disrespect my family.
Say less.
That's all I have.
That was beautiful. That was great advice. This was fun. It was. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
This is a great reintroduction.
Chris's comfy couch.
You done coined that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Chris's comfy couch. Is that three C's? Triple C.
Yeah. Three square. C square, that's I mean. C
square is two.
Oh, what's
that? Yeah.
All right. What is it when it's three?
I don't remember, but it ain't that.
Is that a thing when it's three?
I think it is. Yo, I've been out of school for a long
time. Still waiting to use that Pythagorean theorem, though.
Ain't never going to use it.
Still waiting to use it.
And they had the nerve to, like, that affected my GPA. I just want them to know that. Like,
but look at you now. Got your own podcast. Homeowner.
I didn't need
got a lady
that for that.
Bills is paid.
The struggle.
Smiling.
The struggle.
So what the is struggle. It? Is it?
What?
What is it? The three?
Oh, I couldn't find it. I didn't know what to search.
Okay,
well, I looked it up and I said, "What's
it's fine?
What's more than squared?"
They're called exponents, right?
There is an exponent.
So c to the third exponent.
Cubed.
Cubed.
It's cubed.
Oh, we can't do that.
What c?
Can't call you c cubed. People going to think like ice cube, and I don't want nobody doing that to you,
right?
Because I got to cut off their Wi-Fi. You feel me?
Dang.
Wi-Fi rule the world. Cut somebody Wi-Fi off, their world over. Ain't no more working from home, play. We'll just go with Chris's comfy couch. Yeah, we don't gotta go cube. Cool. Yeah, we'll go with the comfy couch.
Chris's comfy couch has been blessed by Samantha.
Thanks for inviting me. This is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. You'll be back.
Yeah.
Yo, we out. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Like, subscribe, share, do all that good stuff. And yeah.
Deuce. Bye.